with Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Coming to you remotely, I guess, Nathaniel, we got you in Switzerland, right?
Yes, exactly.
Hi, everyone. That's super cool. So I'm in the U.S., he's across the ocean, but through the power of the internet, who knew it's worldwide, right? My name is James Kademan, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and helpful coach to small business owners across the country. And Nathaniel Serberg, global inspirational speaker, and I love this, victorious mindset mentor. So Nathaniel, welcome.
Hey, everybody. Hey, James. Thank you so much for having me today. I really appreciate this opportunity and so excited for the few minutes that we have together.
Yeah, this is super cool. So let's start with the first one, the global inspirational speaker. I imagine that's had to shift gears a little bit in the past almost year, I suppose, or 6 months, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's actually the reason what I do today is because of my incredible life story. So, that's why I do what I do today and why I do it, the most important part.
Okay. So tell me, how long have you been doing this?
For about 4 years now.
Okay. All right.
Mentoring for about 1.5 years.
Gotcha. All right. And so something happened to you essentially that triggered all of this. So do you want to tell us that story?
Yeah, absolutely. So listen, I was about 1 year old when I got diagnosed with an incurable chronic illness. And I was just 3 years old when my doctors, the first time, told my parents that after I was 2 weeks in a coma, they called my parents and said, hey, look, we have done everything that we could do. Come into the ICU in order to farewell your son's life. My parents came there. And so they turned off all the life supporting machines. And by the time they did that, I started to talk again all of a sudden.
Wow.
And it was of course, for everybody, huge miracle. I didn't fully recover from one second to another. It took me about a few weeks to fully come back to life. However, I said in the beginning, diagnosed with a chronic illness, I lost my own kidneys. And the first time I had my first kidney transplant when I was 5 years old. And the reality was that was a huge comfort for us, because all the years before I was struggling, I was trying to survive somehow. I had different treatments, dialysis treatment, and there was kind of a light at the end of the tunnel, but that kidney only lasted for about 24 hours before the chronic illness strike back. I had another two kidneys with 8 years old and 11 years old. Unfortunately, those kidneys didn't work for long either, because of the chronic illness. And it always was striking back and destroying my kidneys. I remember the second kidney transplant. Imagine I got the kidney transplant with about 7 years old. And before that, I had no idea what it means to grow up as a child, because most of the time I was in the hospital, surviving, hospital in, hospital out, next problem, next issue. And when I had the kidney, the second one, it meant that I could take away or take off from the dialysis treatment that I did 3 times a week. And so I fully flourished in my life, because I could feed myself, I could go out, I could spend time with friends, even with family more and more. And I was living the dream life, a life that somebody else would start with 1 year old. I was starting with 7 years old. After those two and a half years, while having the kidney transplant, and after that, I realized the kidney is dying again, or like the new kidney transplant. And for me, it was a huge shock because I realized I had to go back to the old life. Therefore, I was about 9 years old. I just didn't know what to do, and all I wanted to do was taking my own life. I remember 2 weeks I was at my parents' place in the living room, lying on the couch. I didn't speak anything. I didn't eat anything, and I almost didn't move in those 2 weeks. And somehow, after those 2 weeks of having those suicidal talks in my mind, I also realized that there were almost like two forces. The one said I should give up. The other one said, keep going on, because there's somewhere around the corner, there's a better future. And so I did that. I tried to fully create belief that helped me to overcome that. And the interesting thing was, like, my parents, they ordered like pastoral care into a home, and something shifted emotionally, spiritual, as well physically at that time. And I realized, okay, maybe there's more to life than having the best help, the best kidney. And so it continued. I was, I said before, I was having another kidney transplant when I was 11 years old. Unfortunately, that was like only for 13 months. And but even there, again, I realized that I have the best kidney right now, but I still don't have everything. Something is missing. And so I lost the kidney again a couple months later. And so that was the time when I realized that I'm going to create a belief that says that all things will work out for the good. And that's what I believe since then, because I realized that no matter the pain, it will turn into purpose. No matter the opposition, it will turn into opportunity. And no matter the struggle, it will somehow turn into stars. And that's what I realized. And since then, actually, I had a few other complications, like, again, burnout, many depressions. And since age 15, I'm really on the way to live a stable life. That means, like, I still have to go to the treatment 3 times a week. I had about 4,500 life-saving treatments so far. I shouldn't be able to be alive 6 times by now, according to the doctor. And I shouldn't be able to walk, talk, and amount to anything. And so I realized at some point when I was about around my 20s that this is a story people need to hear, that no matter how big the struggles are, the limitations, that nothing is impossible, and that everybody has a chance to create a victorious mindset in order to live a fulfilled life. And that's why I do what I do today.
Wow. That's pretty cool. That's crazy to think about that. 4,500 life-saving surgeries alone, I think, is enough to think, wait, what? Wow. That's cool. That's impressive. So at what point did you decide that you wanted to go and tell this story? Because it wasn't when you were 15, was it?
Yeah, it was about, I think, when I was 18 years old.
Okay.
When I realized that, okay, maybe I should do something like that. I got it from somebody else that has become my mentor. And but I was never the talky guy. I was the shy guy. I was like, due to my loss of my part of my hearing, I never, with 4 years old, I had a lot of difficulties to speak and to listen and So what it does is like you are getting kind of in a cave, and you never think, well, okay, I can be able to be a motivational speaker. And so that was around 7, 18 when I started to think about I have to do something. And but it took me about maybe, I don't know, probably 5 to 8 another years until I started Klug. And that was back in 2016 when I started with being and traveling the world as a global inspirational speaker.
Sure, that's cool. So what were you doing before you started traveling the world as an inspirational speaker?
I was working as a painter.
Okay.
I did an apprenticeship as a painter, started when I was about 15 years old. I was, so this one and helicopter pilot was two of my dream jobs.
All right. That sounds cool.
The funny thing was like, well, I put aside the helicopter pilot job because of due to lack of hearing. Mm-hmm. And so I was starting out as a painter. And but then I quickly realized that's not the thing I want to do my life long. And yeah, it was a lot of hard work without having any meaning. Mm-hmm. And at some point when I was about back in 2012, I went to Australia for 4.5 years.
Oh.
And after that time, I realized that I want to start out as a global inspirational speaker.
So did you have someone that you saw that was a speaker that you're like, I want to do that, what that person is doing? Or is it something you saw on TV? Or how were you aware that even something like that existed?
It was someone, probably most of you know the name Nick Richick. He's a guy without arms and legs. And he was very inspirational to me, still is today. And I was reading a book, and then he was saying like, well, he got booked as a speaker. And I was like, okay, I want to do that as well. Because at that time I knew that I like to travel, and I already knew by that time that I'm not the guy living at the same location all the time. That's already what I knew, because I grew up in the hospital. I was always going back and forth, and that's probably the case why this happened. But I wasn't aware of that I could connect this as a speaker. That only come many years later. But it was interesting how it was evolving and how I could put them together, fully living in my strengths. And yeah, that was really interesting.
That's super cool. So I know there are a lot of people that have talked about going on the road and speaking. And of course, that was pre-pandemic. can you help people just help us with your journey about how it came from your decision that, okay, I want to be a global inspirational speaker. Now, what's the first step? I mean, finding an audience, marketing yourself, all that kind of stuff.
Great question. For me, it was actually very simple, but not easy, because I realized I always go with a certain desire and the vision that I have. So let's say in the beginning, I realized, well, I want to do that. And what I do as a victorious mindset person is to see myself already there where I want to be, whether it's like 2 years ahead, 5 years ahead, or 10 mm-hmm. years ahead. And if you train those talks and vision and picture that you, imagination that you have in your brain, you automatically go according to them, and you live, you kind of, you just do it, because one of my favorite saying is, as a man thinketh, so he is. So whatever we think, we are and we express ourselves. And so for me in the beginning, it wasn't really clear how I'm going to do it. I never knew the how. I never knew what to do. but I realized that maybe it could be good to do attend a leadership college. That's what I did in Sydney, Australia for 3 years. So I went there. That was my first big step. And then the goal was actually to find out how I'm going to build an organization or business. So that's what I was expecting from this school or from this college. But then when I finished this college, I still had the question, how and what?
Oh.
So what I realized, like, well, these two questions always remain. No matter how high you go, you are always going to have a next level of how I'm going to do that.
Absolutely.
What I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, I realized that the most important is to ask myself on and on again why I'm doing something, which leads me to a deeper understanding of who am I, which means like I'm a big fan of spending a lot of time with myself to recognizing, to be aware of my strengths, passion, and values that I have. And I think that that's the best thing anyone can do I know a lot of people don't like it. I still don't like it sometimes, but to really spend time with yourself and figuring out what's there in me, who am I, what's there in me that leads me to the next step, what can I use? It's almost like it's already there, but you know, you have to take it out of it in order to complement with the things that are around you or before you or ahead of you. So that, I think, if that makes sense.
So it does. So can you elaborate on that? So when you spend time with yourself to figure out why you want to do what you want to do, is this you going to a coffee shop? Is this just you staring at the ceiling? Is it like, how do you spend time with yourself to think about this? Are you writing something down or is it purely up in your head?
Great question. So I do a lot of things. So for me, the best part that I do is spending time in the nature. That truly depends on the person you are, because some people can best think about themselves in a coffee shop, as you say. I need the best thing is to go for a hike, for a really long hike. And even better if nobody else is on the hike. to fully be alone. And the second thing is to read books and listen to podcasts, to get new ideas, to collaborate on what I already know in myself with the things that are already there, or the knowledge and the wisdom and all that stuff that's already there. And the third thing is doing sport, doing exercises.
Okay.
And that's what I love. And the fourth thing is, of course, having somebody, a mentor or a coach that is ahead of you in the things that you want to go. And I think that are the four pillars that I use in order to get to know myself and to connect and network with everything that's already there and that needs to be changed.
All right. That sounds cool. I like that. Can you elaborate? Let's just start with the marketing of yourself as a global speaker, because I imagine there's hundreds, if not thousands of speakers out there. And if I have a company that wants you to put on an event or hire a speaker, how do they find you? And what makes them choose you over somebody else? Whatever you consider, or whoever you consider to be your competition.
Great question. For me, what I realized is I'm getting more and more into networking marketing. I have tried many things on social media and all that stuff. I just realized it's a huge ocean out there, and it's crazy. It's really crazy, and you have to be a pro in order to. Of course, you can always start, but for me, I think it depends on the person. I'm more someone who gets like into a networking event and tells people, "Hey, look, I'm here. I'm doing this. If you need me, here's my card." That's it.
All right. Does it work?
It works. It was the best experience. The way I started, and then I got a little bit more into social media and all that, but I didn't have success in that.
Sure.
But the best thing is like going out there on an event, telling people, "Hey, look, I'm here. That's what I do. If you need me, if you need any help in there, I can help you. I would love to help you. Here's my card." Of course, it's not like tick tick. You know, I'm always trying to do as good as I can to build up relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Relationship is for me the foundation of everything. That and maybe I meet 10 people. One of them knows somebody that needs it. So that's already a huge success. And so it's like a snowball, because the more people, I feel often it's so much more personal than putting something on social media. Nobody knows you. It sounds good and all that, but for me, it's like I want to help people on a personal level, not the other way around. And it has been a great success in that.
Sure. Can you tell us about the first inspirational talk that you did that you were paid for? Like, were you nervous? Was it challenging? Or just tell us about it, going from a shy kid to now you're getting paid to tell people your story.
Yeah, I remember that very good. It was in a company in Sydney with about 50 people. So I was like preparing for that talk with somebody else. I don't know, maybe probably 10 hours or something for 20-minute talk. And I was so nervous before because I never spoke in a company. And I felt like, you know, all these business people, really high professional, they expecting something. But end of the day, it wasn't the perfection that touched them, but it was the heart and the inspirational words that I gave them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really interesting to that experience, because that's what I realized and focused on, that people don't, as a speaker, they don't want to, you know, the perfect thing, the way you walk, the way you do the body language. They just want to hear you and your heart behind it. And since then I focusing mostly on that, and it has been a huge success, because I all the time I realize the more you are yourself and the more you remove all those perfect movements and perfect sayings and all that stuff, perfect slides and all that, it doesn't matter at the end of the day. I think the best thing anyone can do as a speaker, be yourself, get yourself out there and be there with the full heart, because people know when you are caring about the people. And I think that's the best advice I can give.
Sure. That's fair. That's totally fair. Have you grown as far as the number of bookings? Like, was it pretty organic? where you start out with one or two here or there and then you build up, or how has that worked for you in the past? You said 4 years you've been doing the speaking thing, right?
Yeah, 4 years, approximately. So yeah, it's always growing. This year I did a little bit different, like I started to do emails, and because of the reason I'm not able to travel at the moment,
mm-hmm.
not just because of Corona, but because of my being on the waiting list for my 4th kidney transplant. So I have to be, I can't travel that far. So I was thinking, like, why not starting with podcast? So how do you reach podcasts if you're global? Well, email. That was my idea. So I did that, and so it has been quite a big success, because the goal was having 15 speakings in 2020.
Okay.
So I had to, yeah, I was reaching the goal already by end of March.
Nice.
So I had to, I had to increase it to 52 speaking, so one per week. And I'm pretty good in the flow now. I'm about, 7 speakings away or something like that. And it's really great. It was really great to see that, how that it's exploding. And
mm-hmm.
I think the more you sow, the more you will reap. And it has been true to my speaking career or calling. And
That's so true. That's very true. I want to talk now about the Victorious Mindset Mentor. So that's you being a mentor for individuals, or more for groups, or both, maybe?
It's more individuals that
okay. I do,
because what I realized that when you want to go deep with people, and I'm really going deep, that people need a one-to-one conversation,
mm-hmm.
because it becomes very, it becomes very shallow when you have a group of people. And I love as well, because as a mentor, it gives me so much value to go deep into people's life and know, okay, they have so many different struggles than I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that, because it gives me the sense of a focus to understand people better and to approach people better in the everyday life. Because I know, okay, when you really get people on face-to-face talking deeply, then something at the bottom of the heart, we all are the same. We have problems, we have challenges, we think in a certain way, and that's what I love about you have different people, but everybody is at the core pretty much the same. And
Very true. Very true. Yeah, I'm trying to think where I heard this, but it's the whole he is me or she is me. When you see anybody else, they're going through the same stuff, or stuff that could be whatever. Everybody's got their cross to bear, so to speak, or their own problems or whatever, and they all, we're all essentially running the same race, I guess is what it comes down to. And nobody gets out alive, so just enjoy it while you can. How do you find people to mentor? Is it from your speaking gigs, or is that considered essentially a separate entity?
No, it's through speaking as well, through networking,
mm-hmm.
network marketing. Yeah, that's
all right. All right. Let's talk about how you figured out what to charge for your speaking gigs without talking actual numbers. I find a lot of people that start speaking, they don't know what to charge, so they just figure out what other people are charging. They throw a number out there, and then they just evolve over time. Is that essentially the same path that you went down, or did you do it a different way? How did that work out?
Great question. For me, I was considering a lot of different aspects. Firstly is the pain that I went through. So you learn a lot from the pain. Secondly, the knowledge that you have. And thirdly, for me, it was the amount of speaking that I do and the number of people that I reach so far, which is about, I'm not going to say numbers. And for me, I think I'm always undervaluing myself.
That's probably common with most people, right?
Yeah.
If not all to a point, yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing is like, but I want to give people more than I expect.
Value, sure.
So it's like, I don't want to make the money the reason for victorious mentoring. I want to make the reason to help people. So these are my consideration that I do. End of the day, everyone has to decide by themselves what they want to do and how much they are charging.
So tell me, if you can, where do you picture yourself being with your Victorious Mindset coaching and with the speaking 2, 3, 5 years down the road?
Great question. It's exactly. So I have two goals for end of 2025.
2025, okay.
So one is to speak to 1 million people.
1 million people by then. Wow, that's cool.
So I'm about at 180,000 at the moment.
All right.
And the other thing is mentoring 10,000 people, which means like...
Individually?
Yeah, individuals as well. I want to have the first conference. So maybe a conference of 3,000, 5,000 people. So that are my two goals.
One-on-one?
Yeah. So, I mean... One-on-one, like
you're gonna have to set them up like a chiropractor and just bang through them. Right?
Yeah, that's
wow. All right.
And I think like what I imagine, I don't have a specific plan yet, but I think when I realize I have, let's say maybe 40 people a month, I'm gonna have to do, I don't know, a little conference and then. This grows. So this is something that I imagine. But for now, right now, it's only for face-to-face with people.
Okay. Nice. That's very cool. So are you a team of one, or do you have other people working for you to help you sort out all this stuff and organize it?
I have people working for me on a hourly basis. That's at the moment about 2, 3 people. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And are they scheduling stuff or marketing, or I guess what do they do?
One is actually marketing only. That's where my weakness is.
All right.
Where I employ people that have the strength.
Sure, that's fair. That's totally fair. Smart move.
Yeah.
Smart move. So do they work out of their houses, or do you have an office, or how does that work?
No, they work. They don't live in Switzerland.
One is nice. Okay.
The other one is from the US.
So gotcha.
We do like, digital.
All right. So has the language barrier limited you, or I don't? Maybe you speak a few languages. I don't even know.
Yeah. I mean, mostly I speak English with all the people globally.
Okay.
And I speak German and then Swiss German, which is not an official language. And currently starting started to learn Italian.
Oh, really?
A little bit.
Oh, that's super cool. That is super cool. So how do you market yourself as a global presenter to US or Australia or even locally? Is it mostly just email marketing, or are you doing social media stuff, or how are people finding you?
Yeah, so it's website wise. I got two websites, one for business, one for private.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole global marketing is at the moment really emails, mostly emails. And everything locally as well. I'm a part of different mentoring groups that people know about me and all that. And yeah, that's the way I do.
Okay.
Simple.
What has been your favorite gig that you've had, speaking gig, that you've done in the past 4 years?
Great question. It was in the U.S. at a Joe Maxwell conference in front of 3,500 people.
Wow.
And
that's a crowd. All right.
Yeah, the room full of leaders, professional business people, moms, dads, yeah, all that kind of. It was a 3-minute talk. I had to qualify myself for that. So only the 10 best could go on the big stage.
Oh, wow.
And, so, yeah, it was a 3-minute talk that I worked for about 45 hours in order to get where I wanted to go.
All right. So you were one of the 10 best in that crowd, is that right?
Yeah.
And how did they judge that?
There's a guy who is he's a speaker, like a speaker coach, and he charged it, by himself, and I think he has a couple other people that helped him to support.
All right. So, that's cool.
It was an amazing experience.
And was it amazing because of the volume of people there, or what made it so special?
The whole process, the way I never prepared that long.
That's a long time.
It's a long time. It's like 1 hour per second almost.
Wow.
Yeah, more than that. Yeah, a little bit late. And the whole process as well, the vibe that was in the room, because it was just like you speak to 3,500 people and everybody's listening to that. And it was just great because I was blessed to have a lot of standing ovation, which took me a lot of time. So I didn't plan that in. That was the only
thing that I didn't plan. Sit down, people. I have more to say, right?
Yeah, that's what I was like. Yeah, thank you, and all that. But generally, as well, like you prepare that long, but you don't know what's going to happen. Because I could have be kicked out in the quarterfinal or in the half final.
Mm-hmm.
It was just an amazing process.
Nice. What do you love most about being a motivational speaker or inspirational speaker, I should say?
I love the power of words because words build. I realized early in my life that words either build or destroy one's life. I heard many times in my life, you can't do this, you can't do that, this is not possible. And so it really destroys somebody's life. And I hope that more and more people come to realize that we have to speak words of power. And the reality is that what we are, we speak.
Mm-hmm.
So many people, I come back to the core because so many people don't spend time with themselves. So therefore, they don't really know who they are, which means like they speak things that they don't have an idea about.
Mm.
That could destroy somebody because they never went over their own pain or over their own circumstances, and that's like a snowball. And so I hope that, yeah, that's what I love about to speak, to inspire people, because we all need daily inspiration. We all need uplifting words every day. It's not just a one-time thing. However, on the other side, it doesn't stay there, because that the reason I started as a mentor is because I wanted to give people a long-term, a long-lasting result. Words to inspire, yes, but after a few weeks or even month, they could be totally forgotten. So mm-hmm. I want to help people to speak, to say, hey, look, that's who you are, that's what you are able to do, that's what's possible, but you're going to have to step into something bigger that has a constant effect, daily practice, in order to live your unlimited potential.
And what do you suggest for people to do? I totally agree with that. So what do you suggest for people to do on a daily basis to maintain that?
Get help. Like, I mean, get help from a mentor, from a coach that keeps track of you. Get read books, listen book to podcasts or audiobook. Mm-hmm. Depends. Let's say somebody wants to be a millionaire, but cannot get over the monthly cost. You know what I mean? Then my suggestion is to really get into that, because whatever influence you have around you shapes your mind. And when you say with the words, people, for a long time I was so influenced by words that I stopped to believe in myself.
Mm.
And
because other people were saying you can't do this?
Yeah,
or?
Okay. Medical staff were saying I shouldn't be able to walk, talk. I should be dead 6 times by now and all that stuff. And so the more you take away the focus to something different, the more you create a victorious mindset, which mm-hmm. in turn gives you almost an automatic response in doing mm-hmm. the things that are in your head.
Let me ask you about the term victorious. Because victorious to me sounds like it's either a game or it's a battle or something like that, where there's winners and losers. So can you elaborate why you chose the word victorious?
Great question. I think it's both. It's almost like a game. You're in a game in this world and you try to win, not in a sense to compete with others, but win the battles, win the struggles, win the circumstances. And on the other side, as you said, is like you want to get the best life. And in order to do that, you need to have victory over your struggles, over your it's not winning in a sense as we probably will know most of the time, because you can have a lot of setback and still winning.
Mm-hmm.
But I think victorious mindset is all about creating a mindset that helps you to win and gets you where you want to go, what you want to be, have, or do in the future. And
all
right. That's the term that I love about.
All right. That's very cool. What is a piece of advice that you've learned or learned to appreciate since, something that you maybe didn't know when you first started this whole thing 4 years ago, that you've come to learn and know that you'd like to share with other people that are considering either becoming a motivational speaker, inspirational speaker, or just starting a business of any kind?
Great question. For me, it's just never give up.
Mm.
And always feed fills your mind with the right things. That's what I constantly improving. Because it was like 2 years ago that I went to the next level and realized that there's so much more influencing me than I thought. Like media, friends that I talked to, friends, family beliefs, whatever beliefs that happened in the past. So today I'm really on a point where I can quickly remove something when it doesn't fit or building me up. And recently I stopped to, that's one example, I stopped to cut off the media.
Okay.
Because I realized that the moment I take, or it can be a newspaper or whatever, the moment I read something, I go into the opposite direction of where I want to go. So let's say at the moment, a lot is said about Corona. So what it does when we daily read about Corona, we feel like we have that as well. But if you remove it, I tried it. It's like now maybe 3 weeks that I don't read media anymore. For me, Corona doesn't exist.
Nice. You
know, like in the everyday life. And so that's very interesting because we are so influenced by the outside. And if you're not careful, we can fully switch into the flow of what the other people think. And
right, think. Absolutely. We, I guess, as a crowd, as society, are guided by a lot of that. We're essentially told somewhat indirectly what to focus on. And sometimes you just feel like a puppet on the end of some strings that you have no control over when you keep paying attention to stuff like that. It's not a good feeling. So, yeah, it's very smart. You're essentially cutting those strings, which is smart. Very good move. Very good move. Do you have a favorite book, I guess, before we go? Do you have a favorite book, audio book, something like that that's really helped you, inspired you?
For me, it's Think and Grow Rich, one of the book.
Oh, great book. Great book. I've had a lot of people recommend that book to me. That's interesting because that's been written, oh my gosh, how old is that book? Is that, it's got to be pushing 100 years, isn't it? 80 years, something like that?
Yeah, it's pretty old. Almost, yeah. I think it was written around the First World War or before.
Yeah, so 19-teens, something like that. So yeah, we got to push in 100 years. That's crazy. That book has stood the test of time.
Yeah, and the other book that I have is The Shack.
The
Shack.
Shack. What is that now?
The Shack is about somebody who spent a weekend with a higher power, with God. And
okay.
It's pretty incredible book. Of what's happening and all that. That's what I love about it as well, with a mindset, because our life is not only based on what we are right here, but there's always something more.
Sure.
That's what I love. Yeah.
That's fair. That's cool. Well, Nathaniel, I appreciate you joining us. This has been super cool. I feel like we could talk for a few more hours, but we got to wrap it up for the other shows on the radio.
That was so quick.
This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land, coming to you here from the U.S. and with Nathaniel in Switzerland. So it's the power of the internet. I love this. My name is James Kademan, and Authentic Business Adventures is brought to you by Calls on Call, offering call answering services for small businesses across the country on the web at callsoncall.com, as well as Draw In Customers Business Coaching, offering business coaching services for businesses in all stages of their business, as well as the Bold Business Book, a book for the entrepreneur in all of us, available on Amazon and wherever fine books are sold. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our guest, Nathaniel Serbrig, Nathaniel, where can people find you?
Yeah, so my website, nathanieltoerbroek.com, and unlimitedu.co.
Would you mind spelling that, the website, for us?
Yeah, so the first one is Nathaniel, Chad, Urbrewg.com. And the second one is unlimit.co.
Awesome. That's super cool. Thank you so much for being on the show. Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays. That is in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin, on a very small portion of the world, at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m., as well as at sunprairiemediacenter.com. Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link, found at drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. I want you to stay awesome. And if you do nothing else, you know what to do. Enjoy your business.